Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
We've been talking about the peace of God, peace with people, peace with God, and peace with ourselves. And folks, I'm telling you, this peace is a powerful thing. And it's not based on circumstances. You see that? It's not based on circumstances. Remember last time we were together, we talked about Esau. How many of you remember? Remember, we were talking out of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 16. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Remember? And then it goes on to say, Esau talks about Esau and his birthright. Remember? Esau could not find repentance with many tears. Did you catch what I said? With many tears, he couldn't find repentance. Now think about this. Esau, the Hebrews congregation, and the writer and the Holy Spirit in the book of Hebrews was writing to the congregation. It was a stern warning of apostasy. Apostasy means to reject Christ. When you reject Christ, it's not going to work out well for you. We're in an age right now, it's called the age of grace. And this was a stern warning about Esau here in this portion of scripture. And it's one whole, there's been religions come out of a misunderstanding of this scripture. People will say, well, you're not holy because you're like Esau. You're being profane. They think holiness is what you do. See, that's, you know, holiness is not your hair in a bun and your skirt down to your ankles. That's bondage. That's what I call that. You see that? That's not holiness. Holiness is your heart. And integrity. Integrity with God. You see that? And man. Wholeness. Now think about this. So Esau, it says he was a fornicator and profane. Profane means godless or ungodly or common outside the temple. That's what profane means. Common outside the temple. In other words, Esau did nothing in the temple and was not worshiping God. Esau represents someone who wasn't a believer. But now look, he sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of stew. Remember, the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. But Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. You paying attention? Now, you got to understand this. We're in a time where this is something you have to understand. It says Esau sought repentance with many tears. Esau wasn't trying to repent. Did you hear me? He was going to Isaac, his father, because only his father could get his birthright back to him. Did you hear me? He was crying with many tears because he couldn't get his birthright back. Did you catch that? I said, did you catch that? So that's what that's saying. The writer of Hebrews is talking to the unsaved and the saved people. It was a stern warning. And this is the stern warning here. Some people, unsaved people, come to church. They go and act like everything's going, and they think they're saved, but they're not, because they don't really want to commit. But there's a time coming when there won't be you cannot change your mind. You see, Isaac could not change his mind and give him back his birthright. Esau was in Edom, and all the people of Edom were profane. Esau didn't make it into heaven, but Jacob did. And Jacob was Esau's brother, and his name means cheat and trickster and supplanter. And he is in the lineage with Jesus. In the Bible, I even heard him pray on the Fox News the other night. Last night. Yeah. None of you know. Yeah, there was a pastor on Fox News, two of them. And one of them prayed, and we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I said, boy, he's got some good theology. You see that? I couldn't believe it. Right on, you know, and they were just being out with Jesus. And I said, boy, this ought to have been going on a long time ago. But now look. So the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know why he didn't change the name Jacob in the lineage? Because God wanted you to know that there's going to be cheaters, there's going to be tricksters, and there's going to be supplanters in my lineage because of this kingdom. Are you listening to me? Because of this gospel. Did you catch that? That's what that's saying. But if the advent comes, when Jesus comes back the second time, it'll be too late. What's too late? Because you need to accept Jesus now. You need to accept Jesus now and follow him committed now. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. When's now? Now's now. Now's now. Everybody say now. Now. Now's now. Now's now. Now's now. So now, you didn't have to say it the second time. That's okay. But now think about that. Are you catching that? So now look. So you got people come to the church, and then you got people who are the church. See that? You got people who come to church, then you have people who are the church. I'm trying to help you see. You need to clear that. Get it clear that you are the church. You see that? Because he's building his church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. I hope you caught that about Esau. Because a lot of people don't get that. And a lot of problems come out of that scripture right there. And it's really talking about not Esau getting to repent. Repentance means change your mind. See, a lot of people think repentance means turn from sin. No. Repentance means change your mind. When you repent, when you truly repent, you change your mind. And now you turn from sin. See, when you get saved, you don't get saved because you repented. You get saved because you believed the gospel. You came into agreement. That's why it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. The word confession means to agree. You agreed with what God has said in the gospel, and now you're saved. You see that? And now you're saved. Now I'm saved. Now my mind is changed. I'm repentant. I'm now changed my mind. Now I'm going to renew my mind to what God says. You see that? Now that takes discipline and discipleship. You see that? I said, do you see that? If you don't have the discipline and discipleship, you might want to check your life and see if you're saved or not. Because if you're truly saved, you're going to want to discipline and you're going to become a disciple. Are you okay? I've been here for 25 years. I've been preaching this for a long time. I'm seeing a lot of stuff. I'm going to tell you, we are in urgent times. Trump can't fix everything. Trump's going to fix it? No, he can't fix it all. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to get tough. You think we've been through tough times? It's going to be tougher. And you're going to have to know who you are. And you're going to have to understand who you are. Because it's going to be challenged. And there's going to be pressure on you to make decisions. And you're going to have to make decisions that line up with who you are. Am I making sense? This is huge. I'm excited. You know what? We have good news. The gospel is good news. We don't echo the problems in the world. We echo what God says. And that's where the good news is, in the gospel. Amen? All right, let's go to Romans chapter 14 after we read our vision. So you understand about Esau now, right? Esau's father was Isaac. He represented God. In other words, what Esau had with Isaac in the Old Testament was a physical depiction of a spiritual reality in the New Testament. You see that? And salvation depends on you knowing Christ. Now watch. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All right. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. All right. So we've been talking about living out of this kingdom and advancing God's kingdom. And we have to be in touch with the Holy Spirit. You see that? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in you. And then he helps you. You see, he helps you move away from sin. See that? When you have the Holy Spirit in you, now you have the helper. He helps you to move away from sin. And then you hear God's word, and it says the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance, what you heard from God, and he helps you to move away from sin. Is this making sense? This is the way it works, folks, and this is the way we gotta grow in understanding of this, because when we understand, we understand. And he says, in all you're getting, what? Get understanding, right? Understanding will keep you and deliver you from the evil way. And that's the good news of the gospel. All right. I want you to go to Revelation, chapter 1, and just give me verse 9, if you would, Mariette. Okay, look at this. It says, I, John the Revelator, he was the one closest to Jesus. He's on the Isle of Patmos. Now, this is the book of Revelation. Revelation. What's Revelation? Apocalypse. It means apocalypse. It means unveiling. It means disclosure. So this is an unveiling, a disclosure, a revelation of the one God. The whole God's story, God's mystery. You see that? Are you catching this? This is what this is talking about. Now watch. Both your brother and companion in the tribulation. What's tribulation? Trouble. Trouble. Remember? Anybody had any trouble this week? trouble. John, he's saying, I'm your companion in the trouble and what? Kingdom. Kingdom. See, he's living out of this kingdom. Watch this. And the kingdom and what? Patience of Jesus Christ. All right. I wanted you to see that because this is really the Advent. Just before in verse 8, he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, who is, who was, and who is to come. There's the Advent. He's coming. And so now he wants us to live out of this kingdom in the tribulations with what? Patience. So this is where we're going after we get done with peace. We're going into the patience of Christ, and we need to grow in our understanding of patience because patience produces God's character in us. And we got to, people always say, oh, don't pray for patience. Yes, you need to pray for patience. Pray for me for patience. I'm okay. I'm going to be tested. It's okay to be tested because God has equipped you to pass the test. Amen? Now, let's look at this. Give me Proverbs 14:29. Now, so think about this. Paul was in prison preaching the gospel, and he said, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. You know what rejoice means? Gratitude, thanksgiving. Paul was in prison for only preaching the gospel. He hadn't done anything wrong. And he's saying, rejoice in the Lord. Proverbs 4, he's in a Roman prison talking to Philippians. You see that? He's writing to Philippians from a Roman prison. He's in a very difficult circumstance and situation. Huh? Most people in prison would be saying, I'm never going to get out of here. I don't know if I'll ever get out of here. They got the wrong person. You hearing me? Falling apart like a $2 suitcase. But Paul is in there. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And let your gentleness be made known to all men that the Lord is at hand. The word gentleness means the ability in you to be undisturbed regardless of your uncomfortable surroundings. So now think about that. That's what Paul was demonstrating. He wasn't just talking about something he read in a book. He was demonstrating what was going on inside of him. The circumstances weren't influencing him. The situation wasn't influencing him. It was the Holy Spirit inside of him influencing him. You see this? In a very, very difficult place. Guards were breathing down his neck. He had balls and chains around his feet. Now, and then he says, and let your request be made known to God. And he says, be anxious for nothing. For what? Nothing. Be anxious for what? Nothing. I did a study on that word, nothing, and it means no thing. In the Greek, in the Hebrew, in what, huh? English, Spanish, Wahiji. Now watch. Anxious for nothing. We're not supposed to be anxious for anything. Now look, he says, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, there's your thanksgiving message. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. What? And the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. Now look, remember? Jesus said, peace I leave with you in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. See, that peace, see, the world says, I have to have something. There has to be the absence of noise the absence of turmoil, the absence of something. But God says there has to be the presence of something, the presence of something to have peace. So when I have God's presence, I have his peace. You see that? That's why he says it's not like the world. The world says you have to be, there has to be something, the absence of noise, war, conflict, to have peace, you have to have that. But God says, no, if you have the presence, you can be in a war, you can be in conflict, and still have peace. And watch. He says, and this peace will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. This word guard, it means a military garrison. It means to be protected from all enemy invasion. All enemy invasion. Now look. So now if my finances are being attacked, look, can't get in. If my marriage is being attacked, can't get in there because you see that? If my person, my well-being is being attacked, you see that? It's a protection there. But now think about this. That was like Jerusalem, city of peace. The enemy couldn't get in. That's what I'm trying to show you. When the Holy Spirit is ruling you, the enemy can't get in to what you value. Am I making sense? That's huge right there. And that is, that only comes from Jesus. Now let's look at this. Look what he says. He who is slow to anger or wrath has great understanding. But he who is what? Impulsive exalts folly. Impulsive means to have no regard for the law of sowing and reaping. That's what impulsive means, to have no regard for the law, spiritual law of sowing and reaping. Did you catch that? So when you have no regard for the law of sowing and reaping, you're going to sow something that you didn't want. You're going to sow something into your future that you didn't want. How many times do people make decisions out of impulse? We've all done it. This is why we're going to have to grow and understand patience in the time we're in. Impulse is an offspring of impatience. Impulse is an offspring of impatience. Did you catch that? And that's what, to just fly off the handle and just let all this out on somebody, that's impulse. You're sowing seed for a future you don't want in life. And this is what we have to understand. Or you're doing things which sowing seed for a future you don't want in life. That's why you young people, you don't want to be hooked up with somebody who's not a believer. You don't want to be hooked up if you're not ready to get married. Marriage, you should only marry a believer. The Bible teaches we're only supposed to marry believers. You're unequally yoked if you get married to a non-believer. You young people, don't make that decision out of impulse. Because if you do, that's a decision you're going to have to live with for the rest of your life. It's going to have ramifications that are going to follow you for the rest of your life. The most important decisions you make is your decision to follow Jesus and the person you're going to marry in life. Am I making sense? Impulse. Our prisons are full of people living out of impulse. Now listen, impulse is to be impulsive is to have no regard for the law of sowing and reaping. Now, give me Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. In other words, as long as the earth remains, this principle is established. You're not going to get away from this principle. Here's what impulse does. Impulse sows seed with no time, and you get the harvest. You see that? Because you don't want to have patience to get what God's trying to get to you. Am I making sense? It's like Ishmael. When Abraham and Sarah told Abraham, God promised them they were going to have a son. They laughed. They thought they're too old. They didn't know that God could charge that dead battery. And they didn't even have anything extra back then, right? Now look. God said this. Now watch. So Abraham or Sarah tells Abraham to have sex with Hagar. Hagar was their maidservant. So they did, and they had Ishmael. You see, that's impulse. They had what they established, what they wanted. How many times do you know if you do it out of impulse, you're going to get what you wanted, but you're not going to want what you got? Ishmael means son of war. Ishmael is the one over Islam, Islamic. Huh? Always at war. Always. And see, that's what it does. It brings strife and war in your life. Are you catching this? And it will bring confusion in your life. But when we wait for the promise, Isaac, joy. That's kingdom. That is only going to come through patience. Hebrews 6, through faith and patience, we inherit the promise. Through faith and patience, you inherit the Isaac, the joy. You see that? That's the kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy. Patience brings that into your life. When people don't understand patience, it's because they don't understand the law of sowing and reaping. It talks about in Galatians chapter 6, it says, do not be deceived. God is not marked. God is not marked. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. And that word corruption is speaking of the will of God. It corrupts the will of God in your life. Contaminates and corrupt. It keeps it out. You can't fulfill the will of God living out of your flesh. He who sows to the flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will reap everlasting life. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart. The word lose heart means no restraints. But if you don't lose heart, and you keep your heart, you keep the restraints that the love of God and the patience of God gives you to get to the promise.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.